Welcome to another edition of What the Fuck Happenings Here in this location. Yeah, that'll do. Will it really do? That's a good question. So two subjects. Cognitive bias video that's kind of interesting. And then Pierrot just plays with words. Barely gets to their real core. But playing with the word progressive libertarian, cramming two words together, don't belong together, category error all over the place. But this whole idea of having rights, you know, the right to be a slob, the right to make a mess, the right to consume more than you produce, the right to be a blight, it all just turns into mush. and so, to an intelligent mind, I guess I would argue, the word liberty doesn't sound all that interesting. Because it just usually means the right of the assholes to be assholes. The right of the, and intelligence always comes with kind of a burden. I mean, the more aware you are, the less fun it is. And that's sort of a fact of life. Ignorance is bliss. And knowledge is a pain in the ass. It's a burden to the individual. It's definitely good for the environment and people and other animals and all of that kind of thing, but it doesn't do the individual much good. She's just too stupid. So it got me to thinking, though, just about even something as basic as the right to make a sloppy video. And this video will be sloppier than it should be. Than it could be, I suppose. I should spend more time, try to maximize its functionality, get the, not do it off the top of my head kind of thing, have some written notes, prepare, put more effort into it. And I have the liberty not to. And so I'm enjoying that liberty, in a sense, but it's expensive. It's wasting your time. And that's a valuable thing. So intelligence makes me aware of that, creates this burden of understanding that, I'm a slob. I got to do better. Puts the pressure on. That is the obligation. The obligation is to maximize our efficiency. It's just the truth. And if you want to have a civilization, you got to pay for it. And you pay for it with this idea that you have the liberty to fuck it up. You have the liberty to make a mess. You have a liberty to break it. You have a liberty to, waste it. No, you either put bricks in the right place, or you're not going to lay bricks. I mean, fuck you. That's the real point, is that how much dysfunctionality in our diversity are we going to accept and still pretend we're doing anything like upping the game, improving the circumstance, your huddled masses are pulling the planks off the ship. It's just a fact, and you're going to sink because they're eating it, and that's what they do, and that's just these are all just facts. You have to put all the facts together and look at things the right way. So anyway, so that gets this cognitive bias conversation in the sense of recognizing how your own brain works and how it fails to work often is kind of an important thing to recognize, your own little stupid biases. Oh, they're my kids, ignorant notion, they're your responsibility, they're not some property, they're not like, oh, they're mine and I own them. No, they're a burden, a responsibility, them first, all that kind of stuff. That's the only rational message, and yet people have these little notions in their head. But there is a difference between a bias, one that you have to be knowledgeable of, and just stupidity. So those are kind of different things. So anyway, let's play a little bit of this. It's a very interesting woman. German, Sabine Hassenfelder, founded doing the science stuff. She's a little bit of a dissident, which is nice. And I'm attempting, to get an interview if possible, but we'll see. Just a good beginning. So let's play the beginning, and it's good fodder, fuel for recognizing where these biases might exist.
Today I want to talk about a topic that is much, much more important than anything I have previously talked about. And that's how cognitive biases prevent science from working properly.
So this idea of preventing science, that yes, it's a real obstacle to intelligence and in general. And you can certainly see it in, the construction of a theory or a philosophy. Garbage in, garbage out. So a lot of it has to do with, if you're building all of your structure on a bunch of false premises or false axioms. And in science, I would say those are bent space, non-answer to a question, virtual photons, dark matter, lots of silly notions they just have accepted way too easily and, without enough evidence. And accept it as hard facts, and then there can't be any swaying from that foundation, and everybody must have the conversation based on these premises that are just moronic. And I guess you could compare that in the regular world to the fact that religion exists. I mean, it's just so stupid. It's such a false premise to live by. It doesn't have anything to do with reality. It's just the dopiest of silliest of fantasies. And just has no credibility. I mean, zero. It's a horrible theory of truth. It's just terrible. It's as bad as using Santa Claus as a foundational fact and thinking that we have to, send money to Santa Claus or something, and wasting resources on just bullshit. Feeding the Easter Bunny or something. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's just glaring right in front of us. Now, is that a cognitive bias, or is that just, assholes being assholes? And so that's sort of the interesting part, is where does this logical breakdown take place? I mean, how can people be this stupid? And not only the stupidity of wanting it to be true, because the stories suck, as stories. I mean, the Muslims are basically child molesters. The Christians are rapists. It's just so bad. It doesn't make any sense at all. You can't build anything on that bad foundation. And so I guess that's sort of the subject of this cognitive bias, is that it's putting garbage in the program. And the program's just not going to work with this bad bit of code in it. It can't go anywhere. Anything complicated you try to do is going to be ruined by the blue screen of death that religion is going to put on the screen eventually. It's going to nullify any capacity to get the right answer, because you don't realize that 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 3. I mean, if you believe 2 plus 2 equals 3, you can't do any good math. It's going to find its way in and ruin it somewhere. Eventually, you're going to have to do 2 plus 2, and you're going to have the wrong answer in the equation, and it's just going to be ruined. All right, so you just can't do any decent thinking with garbage as a foundation. So that's sort of the real subject that underlies this subject, and recognizing, are there aspects of our stupidity that are built in? That is sort of the interesting question. Well, it's not the important point. It's just part of understanding and recognizing that some of your biases are deeper than you might think, are more fundamental than you might think. But I would still argue that yes, once you know they exist, they're really easy to avoid.
Cognitive biases have received some attention in recent years, thanks to books like Thinking Fast and Slow, You Are Not So Smart, or Blind Spot. Unfortunately, This knowledge has not been put into action in scientific research.
Putting it into action is the impossible part, essentially, because if the bias isn't recognized as being actionable, that is, the people who have the biases are not likely to be reading the books. The people who are already recognizing, this isn't quite right, and might be looking for an answer to why their programs don't seem to be coming up with the right answer, and are kind of searching for a truth, are the ones going to realize this. But the idiots, you know, with the bias, are the ones who aren't reading the books and aren't going to be recognizing that they've committed these atrocities, these crimes against the truth. The religious people are going to be the last people to admit they're assholes, they're idiots, they're morons. They've insulted their own frickin' intelligence.
Scientists do correct for biases in statistical analysis of data, and they do correct for biases in their measurement devices, but they still do.
Yeah, they don't even do that very well, so, frankly. Okay, they don't correct for them, they make excuses for them, and pretend they don't exist often. They just pretend the bias doesn't exist. LIGO.
Not correct for biases in the most important apparatus that they use, their own brain. Before I tell you what problems this creates, here's a brief reminder what a cognitive...
Okay, so this'll be good. But see, she's really pointing out something that's not really a cognitive bias. But the point is that it's an example of how your brain says one thing, and it's just not the right thing to be saying.
Bias is... A cognitive bias is a thinking shortcut which the human brain uses to make faster decisions. Cognitive biases work
Yeah, I don't know if they're always that. They're usually shortcuts, that's a good word for it. The brain has to optimize function, and so often it just fills in places it doesn't feel like getting the real data, so it just says, well, the stuff on the left looks like this, and the stuff on the right looks like that, so let's just fill in the blank with the average. And you know, and that's cheating the truth.
Much like optical illusions.
There you go. So I found this optical illusion startling. There's lots of optical illusions where you say, oh yeah, I can fix that by just changing, you know, squinting my eyes a little bit. I can see the other pattern. I can't fix this one. You look at A and B and they're two different colors, right? I mean, there's no other way to see it. There's no way I can squint or turn my head or do anything to make that, to fix that one. So even though I know the fact is A and B are the same fucking color, they're not the same fucking color. So I can't fix it. The prejudice is that deep. It's not repairable. And all I can do is know it exists. So that's a little bit different than recognizing that you've been clinging to some hopey thing, or you're believing in something because you love your mother and she believed it, or some other horseshit. It's a little different than that, because there's just no way to fix it. You can't make it look right. You can't make it feel right. It just doesn't. And it's because your brain refuses. Now, I would argue your brain doesn't really do that in many cases. There's not much of our life that is controlled by that kind of stark inability to get the right answer. I mean, my senses are just telling me the wrong answer. And they won't tell me the right one. No matter how much I know I'm biasing, I can't see it the right way. So there isn't that much in us that's that broken. Now, I would use the example that here, let me just finish this so you can see.
Take this example of an optical illusion. If your brain works normally, then the square labeled A looks much darker than the square labeled B. But if you compare the actual...
Yeah, so, but the truth is, hey, when you connect them, you get it. Oh yeah, now they look the same. Shit. You know, how could I get it so wrong? And so, yeah, so it's a trick. The brain took a shortcut because of the fake shadows. It's got the shadows backwards, right? I mean, the light's coming this way, it's casting a shadow that shouldn't be there. Your brain is making a huge assumption, and it's the wrong assumption. All right, now, I would argue that in our lives, there's not that much of our intelligence that is controlled by any innate bias. I don't think there's any bias to believe in a God. I don't think there's any bias to not believe in God. But these defining a truth, getting the obvious right, that there's a difference between, black and white or something, or on and off, or up and down. There's nothing freaking as obvious as this to fool us, except these kind of optical illusions. You could say mirages can fool us, but clearly we can know about them and compensate for the existence of these optical illusions. But there's nothing, innate in our sensing organs that say something has to be perceived a certain way. Now, the argument I would make is that in terms of taste, like food and, sex, those biases are strong, those prejudices, those conditioned conditions. The fact that you find something cute versus ugly, attractive versus unattractive, hot, versus cold in the desirability sense, those biases are deep, hard to get yourself out of. I mean, it's hard to take that ugly person and start, sexing them up. That just doesn't really happen. And it's hard to not, see the prettiness or attractiveness or cuteness or hotness in something else. It doesn't really kind of matter. You take a pretty woman and, you can put her in pretty silly clothes and she's, still pretty fuckable. It's just hard to get around this bias that's built in. And I think a lot of this bias has a lot to do with a lot of all this cultural, the heat for in the cultural diversity war, is that a lot of our prejudices are that simple. We just don't like the look of people. We just don't like dark skin, or we don't like big eyes, or we don't like too tall, or we don't like too short. It's some physical thing that makes them, other people, less appealing innately to our senses. So A and B could be replaced with pain and pleasure, or tasty and repulsive, and we just can't. We see A as being a certain way, and we see B as being a certain way, and we just don't have the capacity to see it any other way. We just can't change those conditioned preferences. And they are real in the sense that they show up all the time, and, you're compelled to, I can understand that a little kitten isn't any more in need of care and love than a baby rat. But what good does that knowledge do me? because it's going to be so hard for me to see it that way. I'm not going to feel it, or, it's just not going to happen. The one thing is repugnant and the other thing isn't, and it's, exactly the opposite. Is compelling and provokes all kinds of sympathetic emotion. And because the other thing doesn't have its eyes arranged the right way and its little face smashed the right way and it isn't cute enough, I can't help but not to see it as a more like a paramecium or a bug or some kind of thing, for which I can put in a category that it's okay to be dismissive of. It's okay not to worry about. And, this leads to our civilization, using its progressive libertarian liberty, to sew ears on its butt or do some other horrible experimentation because, their liberty is important. not their responsibility to recognize. The reason why they're doing it is because it's not cute. And then the only reason why they've created certain social institutions is because it's not going to happen to my kids. You know, it's a, you know, they're not vulnerable, so it's okay if somebody else's is. That kind of horseshit. I can inherit it, you didn't. Ha ha ha. You know, stupid, idiotic nonsense as excuses. You know, just because you're not recognizing the difference between A and B, you're not recognizing that, you know, it's just as much of a cheat to steal the money, you know, frankly, as it is to inherit it. It's still cheating the guy who didn't do it that way, who did it the hard way, who earned it. It's still cheating him the same way. It's giving you a status that you didn't earn. I mean, really, does it matter if somebody else steals the gold medal and gives it to you, or that you actually go steal it and give it to yourself? What's the difference? The point is you stole the guy with the silver medal's right to be the one who has the gold medal. You know, that kind of thing. It's just, there's no difference. The logic is clear that, you know, I'll make the argument again that children, you know, they have properties. Being a child is a thing to be. And the thing has the properties. The thing has the needs, all the crap. Okay, all the properties belong to it. And none of the properties belong to you as a perceived owner or anything like that. The only obligation is to recognize the properties that all kids have, which is they have potential to be, you know, productive citizens and do great things and win gold medals and all the other crap you think kids should do. And every single one of them has to be respected as having this equal potential. You know, generally speaking. And the liabilities of the games we play. If we play some game and we win, what's our obligation to the people playing the same exact game but losing? So it's just this whole gambling thing, you know, another inability to see the A and B right. What are you doing? You're both participating in the same activity, and then you're basically celebrating the fact that I stole the other guy's money. There's nothing else you're really doing at a casino except stealing the loser's money and giving a percentage to the house and saying you did a good day's work. I stole some money from a sucker, an asshole. Well, the sucker, the asshole, is just as stupid as you are. I mean, what sense does it make? It's illogical. It makes no sense. How are you not getting the fact that you should know better? Maybe you can't feel better. Right, because it's fun to win and all that kind of crap, and you're enjoying that experience. But you got to be able to understand that your enjoyment is made out of people's ruin, because they weren't lucky. Yeah. So how can you feel good about that? I mean, there's nothing to feel good about. Victory sucks. You know, victory just means I made somebody else a loser. What's that? Something to celebrate? No, it's something to lament and mourn. So, yeah, so it wasn't bad considering I didn't script it. I mean, I got to the essential point. So the point is there are things in our perception where we're clearly not seeing it. Some of them you can fix by just being willing to change your perspective a little. You know, read Darwin's book. Do something and you'll be able to see that A and B are the same color. You know, you'll be able to make that little mental bridge between the two and recognize, oh, I get it now. I was fooled by bullshit. And you know, that's the only way we fix this, though, is to have some way where we can keep shoving these images in people's faces. I mean, you have to be able to point out how dismal people's perception is, that they aren't willing to just draw these little lines here and let the two colors connect so you can see how stupid you've been or how wrong you are. But that's the only way you can fix it, is in some, you know, rub their noses in it kind of thing. It's not going to just magically go away. And it's a big problem, though. I mean, it's not just about some stupid A and B on a board. The A and B on the board, it means the welfare of millions of people and zillions of lives, and the whole future is depending on us finding some way to make it possible for people to see that, you know, the A of religion is the same color as the B of dumb fuck. you know, that you're making a catastrophic mental error to wallow in such delusions, profound delusions. I mean, just so deeply stupid. Just no excuse for keep asserting B is a real idea, that it's a real, that has some sort of real integrity as a thought. You know, and it's as dumb as Easter Rabbit, Santa Claus, Gremlin, Sasquatch, whatever. We didn't land on the moon. Flat Earth. I mean, it's the same fucking thing. All right. Pause. Time. I deserve a break, I think. Did all right. But anyway, yeah, see, this is, living is so complicated. You know, in terms of how many ways you can fuck up. How many ways you can make a mess without intending to, but just because you weren't quite diligent enough. Again, I waste 5 minutes of your time. Those could be critical 5 minutes. Those could be the 5 minutes when you are actually going to be able to see, oh yeah, A and B are connected. You know, and I wasted your time trying to say it, but I didn't say it well enough. I didn't say it the right way for you to understand. And instead of watching some other video, which, oh, you would have got it, I'm wasting your time, blah, 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 you know, talking shit that you're not getting. I mean, the responsibilities are insane in terms of trying to optimize, trying to make sure you don't fuck up, you don't make a mess. I mean, how is you know, being enlightened at all some kind of progressive liberty thing? No, it's just piling on responsibility. There's no fun in this bullshit. And these people could try to say, oh yeah, we can all live fun and make civilization at the same time. We can have fun and make civilization. No, it's not going to work that way. You want to make a great civilization, everybody's going to have to do some work. It's going to be unpleasant, a lot of it. And it's just the obligation. That's what makes something good, is people have to think longer, they have to work at it, they have to measure twice, cut once, maybe measure three times, cut once. They have to be careful, and yet they have to be efficient. You know, they can't just spend 15 years, you know, figuring out how to properly wash the pot. I can't sit here and just think about, well, how should I make a video? I mean, how many days should I spend just wondering, should I say that word, or shall I do that, or shall I? I mean, I can't waste too much time, so I have to optimize this to some extent. There's a lot of pressure here. This is a high performance game we're playing. This isn't just something easy. This is like you know, anything. Doing it the best requires you to take all the waste out. If I want to be the fastest runner who jumps over stupid little hurdles or something, I have to create incredibly efficient muscle memory. I have to make sure not a single step is wasting any frickin' energy. I mean, every step has to be done the right way. Every leap has to be done the right way. Everything has to be maximized to get the most out of whatever I have physically. And that's, you know, and then I have to also have the advantage that, yeah, my torso happens to be 1.5 inches longer than the other guys in the race, and so it gives me a slight advantage, or vice versa. You know, my legs are a little bit longer than the rest of mine. My head's a little smaller, some other kind of bullshit, you know. And that's what the irony is that's what we are as a civilization applauding, is kind of bullshit like that, right? I mean, we say where it's a fair fight. It's never a fair fight. One guy always has a longer arm, you know, and that's going to matter, you know. One guy's fatter, one guy's, you know, there's always assets and liabilities that really don't have much to do with I chose to be an inch too short, you know. So it's never a fair fight, and you know, the best we can do is make it as fair as possible. That's why in suggesting a new political party. I chose fairnessfirst.com. You know, and someday I'll see if I can get somebody to give a shit. But I mean, that's really all we can do. There's no liberty is nonsense. All you want is a fair way to maximize our performance, a fair contest where we can engage. You know, and that would work for, say, even capitalism. You want a fair competition. Fair competition isn't Hurstian economics, where somebody inherits $100 million and decides to open a flower shop next to yours, and he decides, I can lose money for, you know, 400 or 500 years. You know, I can lose 50 grand a year for 100 years. Who cares? You know, go ahead and compete against me. You know, go ahead and try. I mean, it's a bullshit game, you know, and but the capitalists can't admit it because they're all sitting on their inheritance. You know, they're also, their cognitive bias makes it impossible for them to recognize how big a cheater they are, how much they are fucking the rest of the human race with their advantage, and how they're pretending they're accomplished, when clearly if they gave other people the same advantages and assets, they would have done much better. They would have broken the record even more substantially, you know. Give the guy who won the silver medal that half inch extra height, you know, and he would have won 6 gold medals, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, yeah, so pause time. At least I have the liberty to do it. But there's certain responsibility, right? Brain's getting a little tired. I have a responsibility to pause for a moment. Okay, collect my thoughts and then attempt to throw them back at you again. Some more. Yeah, I am back. Didn't gain much from the vacation, but anyway. So I put it back to where the optical illusion is more stark, and this inability to see simple things. And so I could, you know, Pirro every now and then makes some sort of statement saying something like, we should give the darkies some rights, you know. Almost, I mean, that gratuitously insulting in the sense of he thinks he's being fair to animals by every now and then recognizing that maybe animals should have a right or two. And it's so insulting. It's one of those comments you could drag up from the past where, you know, in the civil rights movement or before, you know, where the good guys still sounded like bad guys. You know, it's so clear, you know, in terms of logic, making this argument that there's no way you can make this A and B distinction. You know, you can't sit there and say the 1-month-old human baby is somehow more valuable, more precious, more in need of care than the, say, 6-month-old chimpanzee or 3-month-old, or even just born, just because it's so far advanced in terms of its clear cognitive interactivity, its capacity to have a good day and a bad day, a good moment, a bad moment, to suffer, to be upset, to be uncomfortable. Clearly way advanced, way past. Now, yes, the baby will learn how to do mathematics and, you know, gestures, and it'll learn all kinds of little human behaviors, and we'll say somehow it's so much better an organism now. It's deserves so much more to be in a comfortable environment, not to be having sores and irritations and, you know, unpleasant feelings. But there's no logic to it. There's every reason to recognize that, okay, even though, all right, I don't relate to animals, you're not an animal person, you can't deny what's there, especially when it comes to the other great apes. You can't sit there and pretend that when you see the human doing sign language with the gorilla, okay, that this thing is worth $4 million and this thing's worth 4 cents in terms of its harmability. The A and the B are the same, close enough, and I have to quit pretending I can see them as different colors as a philosophical statement. Just because I'm seeing it wrong, I'm feeling it wrong, I can't keep talking it wrong, because I know better. I'm smart enough to know better. That being able to add 2 + 2 doesn't make me more sensitive, doesn't make me more vulnerable, none of that. And so it's just silly and stupid to justify any of this nonsense that we can, you know, rape and pillage thems, you know, we can take in such a grotesquely you know, nasty way, that we have anything else but the same responsibility, the same level of concern for waste in their community as we have for waste in our own, that it somehow makes a difference. And again, you can go back to this whole cultural war in countries and stuff, and people just say, well, it's happening to them, who cares? You have to care, because the thems are the same as the yous. If you have an inefficient, dysfunctional country somewhere, you might as well understand that it's like having your own kids trapped in those concentration camps or trapped in that dysfunctional world. And the same level of attention is rationally required. If you're going to do the right thing, if you're going to exercise your liberty to do the right thing, you know, and the only liberty you should have, really, you can't pretend. It's okay if it's happening over there. You know, as long as it's not happening here, it's not happening. That's just being illogical. It's not seeing the clear, recognizing the facts that somewhere you're making a mistake, that you can't logically defend your assertion that, no, B is different. B is different. I mean, I showed you, B isn't different. You know, the facts tell you B isn't different. Can't just keep asserting it because that's the way you keep feeling it. So I guess I'm cheating the argument a little bit by talking about the difference between feeling something and thinking something. They're really just both the same thing. You know, one is just certain thoughts have a certain intensity of importance. And that's really what we're talking about. The color difference is really just an importance difference, where we've placed our emphasis. So again, it's about these magical words. You're thinking the word, people think the word liberty means something. And I could argue that, no, the color, the word that should have the intensity is the word waste. And, you know, the word efficiency. Those should be the words you're after. This liberty thing is a means to an end, maybe, at best. But it's not something essential. The essential thing is that we don't waste, that we do it the right way. We build it correctly. My toe got frozen somehow and hurts. Sorry. It's a certain bit of inefficiency in my function. Take a break. Oh, I have to go. Ow. Ow. Anyway, just maybe a consequence of old age or something, but man, my feet are just gotten so sensitive to temperature. You know, when you get that stinging, you know, and your feet get frozen and, you know, you get that stinging pain. Yeah, I get it for like 50 degrees, you know, it's like frostbite or something, and it's just it just takes a while to get rid of that pain. Anyway, but it's sort of brought to mind a fact that another one of these cognitive problems we have is that we think, okay, that everybody's got some kind of similar kind of perception of things, like because my toes don't get cold when it's 50, okay, that nobody's toes get cold when it's 50. And that's another one of these biases, this problem with recognizing when things are the different color and we're seeing them as the same color. So, you know, maybe there's an optical illusion, the inverse of this, to kind of just recognize that there's a lot of things where we're just not appreciating that because I feel good, oh, everybody else feels good. That because I like it, everybody else likes it. And it's just really dumb not to recognize that's not the way it works out. Because I got lucky, everybody got lucky. And, you know, the casino argument kind of... and we just know statistically, the statistics are there glaring at people. And they're just pretending I'm feel lucky. Well, feeling lucky isn't using intelligence, so it doesn't mean anything. They should be able to know that it doesn't mean anything, that A isn't any better than idiot. You know, your feeling doesn't change the real colors. It's erroneous nonsense a lot of the time. Just doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the truth. Just has to do with your personal disposition. So that gets into this whole, people use words like subjective and objective, and they're legitimate words, but probably just need more precision. The word objective seems pretty good to me. Just recognizing that, yes, you're cleansed, you've gotten the biases out, and the perspective is one where you're watching something rather than participating in something. You're a non-participant, and viewing it as completely as possible, you know, this perfect perspective. Now, it's hard to attain anything like that, but I'm just saying we can tend to be more objective, like more perfect or better. So there's nothing wrong with the word except maybe stating that you've achieved some perfect objectivity, because that's really hard to do. But the idea that it's a good thing, well, that's for sure. Just like perfection is a good thing, and it's fine to say nobody's perfect and all that stuff, but that ends up being used by people to make excuses to be imperfect, becomes some license to fail to even try. And it becomes licensed to excuse all kinds of sloppy littering. You know, so just an overt denial of the obligations that exist, because nobody's perfect, I don't have to even be close to perfect. That kind of crap, in terms of a perversion of the words, the meaning of the word. Now, subjective is good because it's sort of saying, okay, it's about the you being the subject, and this inability to not spread your you-ness on everything you're looking at. You know, you're narrow, and recognizing that you do see B's and A's different than other people do, and that you just have to be conscious and aware of that if you wish to become more objective, which is the good thing. And the subjective things are always essentially negative. There are always these optical illusions. There's no greedy impulse. There's no, say, personal impulse that has really anything to do with being productive. The obligation to recognize the system we're part of. Like liver cells don't have a choice in your body. I mean, they can't just say one day, I don't want to be a liver cell anymore. I want to go be a heart cell, or I want to go be a pancreas cell. I want to do something else. I don't like this job. They don't have any liberty, right? Because their liberty breaks the system. So they have to be confined. And the system that we're part of doesn't have any such mechanism. You know, it just doesn't have any way to confine us, you know, to the functions that are necessary and to obligate us to perform those functions. And so we set up some institutions to create some kind of deterrence, you know, some kind of reward and punishment. You know, so there is some mechanism, I guess. So yes, we have put in place some mechanism, but it's terribly inefficient. It doesn't even come close to preventing all this harm. And then when people play with this word liberty, like it's some sort of vital function, well, it's going to be toxic. You just can't have it both ways. You can't have a a functioning body and then have a bunch of cells who say, I'm a libertarian. I have liberty. I have rights. Rights to do wrong. Rights to break the system. Rights to do things that just won't work. That break fairness. That break the whole fact that you have to make a connection between deserve has to have something to do with it, because that's how we individually function. So in a sense, you could argue that the liver makes the liver cells compatible with other liver cells. You know, and it creates lots of personal incentives for the liver cell to stay a liver cell. It doesn't give it a whole bunch of reason to want to be something else, that kind of thing. And that's how you want to mold your society, is to create every kind of incentive for you to be generous in your activities, to be responsible and careful, and that you'll be rewarded for all of that. And the people who are reckless and irresponsible will have their personal life diminished based on their behavior. You want to create as much of that as possible. The way most of these philosophies that people have fail is they always protect the special interest, their interest in being consuming more than you produce, or being lazy, or being some other vice that they are personally infected by, and they now think they have an obligation or right to defend it by spreading it or something, you know. It's only one thing to be a cigarette smoker. It's one thing to be a cigarette seller, you know, or pusher, you know, that kind of thing. It's one thing to advocate. It's another thing to recognize your failure. You know, it's like the people who are excessively large, and you know, they pretend that they have rights as large people, and that the largeness is the right way to go, and that, you know, so, you know, they should just admit that, oh no, there's an overt inefficiency in this. I'm making the system not function by requiring you to make seats that can expand to fit me, you know, that somehow can create extra space, you know, do some kind of Einsteinian warp of space time to make it fit me. You know, I mean, it's overtly you're failing, and it's like, instead of being humble and recognizing I'm sorry and just saying, well, if you don't mind, you know, can I use two of the seats and blah blah blah, instead of being recognizing that they have failed, they assume we have failed, you know, because we're not saying, no, eat some more candy, have a good time, don't let us burden you at all with any obligation to be functional. You know, just, yes, make us do more work to please you. You know, let's waste more money, you know, making whatever. I mean, they did it here, you know, all these wheelchair-friendly curbs. I've never seen a wheelchair on the sidewalk, ever. And you can't really even push one on the sidewalk because the sidewalks are so uneven, because they plant these stupid trees that, you know, bend all the sidewalks. So what the hell you need them for? It doesn't make any sense. You know, $10,000 each, maybe, you know, some kind of real money. And how many people will use it in the next 10 years? Four? So, you know, $2,000 per wheelchair experience. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's just so stupid. And we want the liberty to be stupid, or, you know, we want to create some sort of dopey blanket law that just pisses the money away. You know, we have to give retarded people the right to go to college, or, you know, some other kind of stupid. It only costs $797 million for their college education, because they have to have 17 tutors and somebody to wipe their drool off while they're in class and do all. I mean, what the fuck? It's so stupid. Like, the resources aren't always real. Like, your time isn't valuable. Again, I mean, I feel the burden. I felt it a lot in my years on the internet, recognizing that, you know, sort of some people are depending on me to do this well. I don't want to do the work sometimes, and I'm failing. Okay, I mean, I'm succeeding more than the other failures, but I'm still failing, and I know that. And I'm not, you know, sitting here saying do it my way. Do it better. So anyway, yeah. Just saying that, you know, intelligence is a burden. The more you know, the more, you know, you wish you could live a right life and be stupid, because it's just all bad news. The more you know about all these A and B tricks, the more you know just how difficult it is to know what the right thing is, to the best efficiency. But you really can't tell when you're running the race. You know, you can't. Is it better if he wins? I mean, it's a real question, right? You're running a race with six other people, and you can think about it and say, well, what's it going to do for my life if I win? Okay, I get some money and some fame and some chicks, but I can already get some of that, so I don't know. Do I really need to win? Is it going to change my life in any dramatic way? Blah, 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 blah. Will my relationships with other people improve, or will they get worse just because, you know, now I'm going to seem like the pretentious winner, and, you know, they're going to be losers, and they're going to feel bad, and, you know, so maybe it'd be better if I don't. And I'm just saying, you can just think of it and just start to try to figure out what's the best solution. There's a right answer. I mean, just factually, if you could run the future and run the different variations of the future, you know, the one where you just say, yeah, I think I'll slow down, and some other guy wins, and the world changes, you know, because he gets the money, he gives some to his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law cures cancer or something. I mean, it's just a fact that there's going to be better outcomes, and we can't know them. And it'd be nice to know when I should try hard and when I can be lazy, because it ain't going to matter. I'm not going to win anyway, you know, that kind of thing. Be nice to know where the best thing to do is, and we can't know that. And all we can do is maybe make computer models and try to figure out probabilities, you know, what's likely to be the outcomes. And that's all you can grasp onto and say, what's the likely outcome? And sometimes all you can do, though, is because you got so many things to think about, so many, you know, it's so complicated in terms of all the interactions and whether, should I wave to the fan over there? Maybe I made his day, you know. I should take a little time out from my running to say hi. But, you know, the truth is it might be the right answer, but it's hard to know as you're running. So, and that's all most people are doing, right? They're running as fast as they can. They're trying to do all this stuff, and they just they can't think about all these different equations that are involved, all this different Pythagorean theory of angle, side angle, which way's the most efficient, what's the straightest line from here, from point A to my death, how do I get there and make as little mess as possible and fix as much stuff as possible, how do I really maximize my existence? And it's not easy to do. But the obvious things are obvious. The things not to do are really obvious. Don't make wheelchair-friendly curbs where you don't need any. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, don't build bridges to nowhere. You know, crossing streams no one crosses. Don't do the overtly stupid. Don't fall for the overtly stupid religion. You know, don't be an asshole. Don't be stupid right in front of your face. You know, don't gamble, don't do a lot of things that, you know, it's just not productive. It's just not a good idea to buy lottery tickets. You're just supporting a system that's stealing money from poor people. That's all it's doing. It's an abomination to reason. It's disgusting behavior. You know, selling hope. Yeah. taking advantage of ignorant people, too stupid to know. They can't afford it. All right. I mean, there's so, all these social issues fit into these categories. They're just so obvious. And so, you know, I've talked about many of them, and, you know, the right to die and how you're just wasting all this money forcing people who don't want to be alive to be alive, when there's a whole bunch of people who want to be alive and can't afford to be alive. It's just so stupid. So, I mean, and but then the other extreme is there's, you know, people who are, you know, alcoholic drug addicts, you know, and they want a new liver. You know, spend a couple hundred grand to keep me alive so I can do some more drugs and fuck up some more and be useless. No. Yeah. Anyway. So, I think that's enough of a video. I don't need to turn it off that way. I can do it the more efficient keyboard way. So I'll probably do that. So anyway, so I guess, no. So yes, yeah, so the efficiency of this communication needs to be improved. I need to make these arguments in, you know, in some sort of pure speech. But even when people write really great books, they don't read as well as they're supposed to, right? I mean, the Bible reads like a piece of shit. I don't know how anybody could say it's literature, even. It's so frickin' stupid. It's no continuity at all. The stories are always full of shit. There's, you know, crap happening that they never create the character. They never develop the character. You know, it's just terrible mush. And then the Buddha crap is mush. It's all mushy shit. And you hear people fall for that crap. So why should I have to do any better than that? See, I'm feeling, oh, yeah, well, why should the standards be different? Well, they just are. The opposition has to make the better argument, unfortunately. You know, people don't move from being a liver cell to being, you know, something better, you know, unless I convince them. You know, I have to persuade them out of their comfort. You know, they found some world they can understand and they're living in it. And I have to create some kind of disquiet. And that's a difficult task because people don't want to migrate to the truth. For a lot of reasons. First, it's change, and change sucks. It's just a fact. So anytime you're asking somebody to change, yeah, you got a burden. And then second, it's not a funner place. It's the bliss of ignorance is true, is real. And so it's a difficult task because you're going to force them to grow up, and they don't want to do that. They want to stay in the Peter Pan world with magic fairies and all that kind of crap. They don't want to go to reality and have to deal with the fact that there's life sucks. Yeah, and it's just trying to suck as little as possible is the only thing you can accomplish, both in what you do to the world and what you have done to you. So anyway, now it's enough, I think. I have lots of whatever they're called, epilogues. I'm episodic. Yeah, wow. Maybe that could be like ADD or something. Episodic. It's really just transitions. Transitions are change, right? So I'm just demonstrating. I'm not a big fan of changing. Yuck. So anyway, till the next time, and such, so forth, and the whatnot.